I am Clara Candelas Hernández.
Hola, yo soy Raúl Hernández.
We are husband and wife and have been together 12 years.
We are a bilingual family.
Raising bilingual kids. We talk about parenting, life, relationships.
Pues un poquito de todo.
So welcome.
Bienvenidos.
A tu lado podcast.
Hola a todos. Welcome back to A Tu Lado podcast. Today we have a special show for you guys. It's the part two, a continuation of our show from last week talking about the Latino first generation experience in college. We had such a great response last week, so we want to thank you guys so much for tuning in. We were getting messages on a daily just about how people can identify with what we were talking about. And this week, like I said, we have another great episode for you guys to identify with. And today we're going to be interviewing our friend Gladys Covarrubias, who has a great story for you guys. So we hope that you guys enjoy.
But before we get into today's episode, I wanted to take a quick moment to congratulate all those graduates that are going to be receiving their degrees this semester, but because of the uncertain times that we're going through right now, aren't going to be able to have a graduation. And seriously, my heart goes out to all you graduates. Just know that this is just another part of your story and you got through the hard part, and we hope that you celebrate in your own way. We wanted to do something special for you all, and this is just something special. Small, but maybe this shout out will cheer you guys up, and we hope that you enjoy it. So congratulations to all these graduates.
Liliana Flores, UC Irvine, BS in Public Health. Daisy Gaeta, Cal State Bakersfield, a BA in Political Science. Alicia Cruz, Cal Poly, San Luis Obispo, MS in Higher Education, Counseling, and Student Affairs. Maria Melendez, Cabrillo College, RN, Registered Nurse. And Silvia de la Rosa, University of Texas, Rio Grande Valley, MSN, Family Nurse Practitioner.
Esther Rodriguez, San Jose State University, BA, Communication Disorders and Sciences. Armando Arguello, graduating from Southeast High School, Southgate, California. Melissa Robles, Cal State Bakersfield, Liberal Arts. Ana Breña Peña, GA, State University, RN, Registered Nurse. Paulina Diaz, San Francisco State University, Apparel, Design, and Merchandise. Jennifer Villegas, San Jose State University, major in Child and Adolescent Development. Esmeralda Alcala, San Jose State University, BA, Child and Adolescent Development with a minor in Justice Studies. And we also want to congratulate my brother, Domingo Candelas, who is receiving his master's in public policy, and also his wife, Cristina Salvatier, who will be receiving a master's in public policy as well. And also a huge shout out to Monique Sierra, who is my husband's cousin, and she is graduating with her bachelor's degree in anthropology. Congratulations again to the class of 2020. Remember, this is only the beginning. So we want to welcome Gladys Covarrubias to the episode. But before we start, I just want to apologize because I was carrying Mati during the interview and you can hear him. So just to give you a little background on Gladys, she is first generation college graduate. She attended her undergrad at San Jose State University, where she obtained her degree in advertising and business. She was also part of the women's soccer team at San Jose State University. And in 2018, she received her MBA and began her journey as a human resource generalist at Adobe. So we welcome Gladys Covarrubias, A Tu Lado podcast. We actually met in college. I was getting my master's and she was actually finishing her undergrad. And we were going to study abroad in Paris. And we met after one of the meetings for studying abroad. She came up to me. I stayed, you know, I was packing my laptop and I was one of the last people to stay in the classroom. And she just came up to me and she started speaking Spanish. And I was like, whoa, I didn't see that one coming because I thought she was not Mexican.
But you look like that too. Like you look like you don't speak Spanish.
Yeah, pero tengo el nopal en la frente. Like I always get intimidated when I'm in a classroom.
Well, welcome Gladys to the A Tu Lado podcast.
Thank you for having me. It's honestly a pleasure to be able to join you guys, and I'm very excited for this new project that you guys have launched. So thank you for inviting me. And
yes. The first question that we just wanted to ask you is, you know, if college was brought up at home, was it something that was instilled in you since you were young?
you know, when I think back on this question, I think about, you know, my parents always talking about how, hey, make sure, mija, you continue your education and do well in school and make sure you go to college. I think, you know, both my parents, they weren't fortunate enough to go to school no further than sixth grade. So, you know, they were only able to attend that far. And then they came, obviously, to the United States for a better life. And I think one of the biggest things for them was, you know, to have their family get, you know, greater education and support. So that was something that they always talked about. They never spoke about how would I get there and what would I need to do. Uh-huh. But they would always talk about making sure, you know, hey, make sure you go to school, make sure you do well.
And what were the steps, Gladys, like as far as like, yeah, what were some things that you kind of did in your experience? Your,
yeah. Like, I think back and same thing. I didn't know how. I remember, it's kind of funny, my parents didn't know what the student of the month was, right? And I would always get this award when I was in school and elementary and middle school. And they're like, ¿qué es eso? You know, they had no idea what it was. And every month I'd get it. Every month I was also like a GATE student. I don't know if you guys had ever heard of that.
Yeah, but of course. Yeah.
All these different things, right? And they had no idea. But, you know, bless their hearts, they supported me. And they're like, okay, mija, you got this. Like, keep doing it. Not knowing what exactly it was. And we only spoke Spanish at home. So for them, you know, they just thought about, you know, hopefully she's doing something great and she's doing well in school. But I didn't have, you know, anyone to mentor me and show me the way. To be completely honest, I had to be resourceful and, you know, be curious and ask a lot of questions. And I remember being in high school and a counselor came in and was like, hey guys, like, I know you guys are thinking about going to college and, you know, we have some scholarships for you. And I was like, scholarships? And I thought to myself, okay, what is this? And they're like, if you don't have the means to pay for school, don't worry. There's a lot of opportunity out there and people that are willing to support. And you just have to apply, especially if you're a first generation, like there's a lot of support that you can receive. And I said, you know what, let me go figure this out. Let me go talk to a counselor. And sure enough, that's what I did. And I was lucky to be surrounded by, you know, a lot of people that wanted to go to college. So they would talk about it. But I had to figure out, okay, what scholarships do I have to apply for? I have to take the SATs. Okay, I have to now pay this amount for every application that I submit. And all of those little steps and things that I had to figure out, I had to do it on my own. But, mm-hmm. you know, I think now, luckily, we have a small thing called Google. and hopefully everybody has access to a phone and, you know, you can find everything at the tip of your, you know, fingertips. So I'm really thankful for that now.
Did you get into college? Because I know that you played soccer at San Jose State. Mm-hmm. So how did you start with soccer?
Yeah, gosh. Soccer has been one of the best things that has shaped my entire life. The way I actually got into soccer was because of my older brother. You know, there was a pivotal moment in my life when my younger brother passed away, and I was 10 at the time. And I remember my brother seeing me play outside after my youngest brother had passed. And, you know, he was the closest thing to me, and I'd always be playing with him. And obviously after that, I didn't have anyone to play with, and I would always be kicking a soccer ball. And he noticed that I was pretty good with my left foot, and he's like, would you want to play soccer? And I was like, yeah, I didn't know any better, right? I was like, yeah, let's do it. And that was pretty late start for those of you who play soccer at 10 years old. Like, typically you start at, you know, you have Alessandro starting at, you know, 2, super young, not even. And so he took me out to tryouts, and it was for a rec team. And, you know, 2 days later it was for a comp team. And he's like, we're going to try both of them. And I was like, okay, you know, I'm just following along. And he was, you know, I made both teams, but we decided to go with the comp team. And from that point on, it honestly changed everything that made me who I am today, because of the fact that I met so many people that are awesome and till this day helped me. Because it was a struggle, let me tell you, like, soccer was not easy. There was not many Hispanics on playing soccer, women especially. Mm-hmm. Definitely American girls playing, absolutely number one sport in US. So I needed a lot of support from parents. And what I mean by that is that my parents didn't have the means. You know, my brother went out of his way to say, hey, let's go put you into soccer, but he didn't know, hey, it's going to cost this amount of money or all these fees, and soccer's expensive,
right? It is such an expensive sport, yeah.
Yeah, so I got a lot of help from parents, and shout out to the Camachos if they're tuning in and listen to this podcast, but they really took me in and were like, hey, like, we'll give you a ride. And I was 10, 11, and I remember calling these parents at such a young age asking for a ride. And honestly, I look back and it makes me emotional thinking about it because I was such a young girl. You know, now you think about parents and they're like calling to be, you know, calling other parents to say, hey, I'll carpool your kid, or I'll be carpool mom or carpool dad. And at that time I had to do all of that, you know, and it was a struggle, but it really taught me to be independent and go from there. And the time went by and I kept playing, and I was fortunate enough to, you know, get a soccer scholarship to play at San Jose State, and that was everything for me.
Yeah, and what kept you going? Because you didn't stop just with your undergrad, you kept going for your master's. So what kept you motivated to keep going to school?
Yeah, great question. I would say my parents. I think that drive that is inside of me comes from, you know, seeing my parents struggle from not only coming to the United States for a better life and not having much, but, you know, going through the struggle of losing their youngest son and all those different things in life. And I just wanted to make them proud and be something bigger. And, you know, the possibilities are endless. And I think that's what keeps me going. And when it came down to my master's, I just remember thinking, I thought of you, actually. You know, I met you studying abroad. And I said, you know, Claudia has her master's, and that was so badass. And I want to continue my education. I think it'd be awesome to have more Latinas going through and getting, you know, furthering their education and whatnot. But I thought to myself, one day you may want to start your business, and this would be great to, you know, great knowledge to have. And at the time I was actually working for Target, and I was lucky enough to have them pay for it. Thing, you have to be resourceful. Don't think just because I don't know how to get there, my parents don't have the money, they don't have that, because I was in that same boat, right? I was like, my parents had talked about it in the household. However, once I was in, you know, a sophomore, they're like, well, we can't pay for it. And I was like, what? My dream was to go, you know, to make it to college. What do you mean you can't pay for it? However, I was resourceful enough, and I figured it out on my own on how to apply for the scholarships and how to get the support I needed to be able to get there. And another thing was just curiosity. Just like, always stay curious. Want, you know, always ask the questions. There's always a way. You'll figure it out by just asking the right questions. The people, don't give up.
Yeah, and I do see that in you a lot. Is that you've always asked so many questions. That's just the type of person you are. And I think that it's because of what you've been through in your life that, you know, it's what shapes us. Even down to like going to restaurants and asking the waiter, if she does this every time, what do you suggest? Is this better or is that better? And I think that even those little things, you know, you see someone's personality. And I think your story is super important because you went through something pivotal in your life that instead of it drowning you, it gave you that motivation to keep going. And as a woman in sports, and now as a woman in technology, you offer so much, and your story is significant, you know? And I feel like a lot of girls who are listening to this story can feel motivated and inspired by you, because it's not just stopping with your undergrad. No, mija, keep going. You can get your master's. You can do more. That's so important to talk about.
And thank you for that. I think you're absolutely right. I think that, you know, we always want to see us and be like, they did it, I can do it too. And absolutely, I think going back to get my master's too was something that I needed to prove myself that I could do it. And I think it was a struggle. I'm not going to say it was easy, but it was also what I needed at that time to get into tech too. So I was actually in retail, right? I don't know if I mentioned this, but I was a store manager at Target, and I knew that I didn't want to continue to be in retail for the rest of my life. And I was like, okay, I want to get into tech. It's innovative, and it's, you know, it's changing the world, and that's what I want to be a part of and ensure that I make an impact some way. That helped me too get into that new industry.
Right. And especially more because we live in the Silicon Valley and it's run by tech. It's like tech is everywhere here.
You know what? I think till this day, as much as retail it is a beast, it set a foundation, a leadership foundation for me that will be, I mean, I am so thankful for it, because it transferred over to now Adobe, where I'm at. And I met, you know, some great people. But I think it's all about relationships, you know,
right. from that point on, cultivating those relationships.
Yeah, cultivating those relationships. And I think at Target, that's what I did. And that's what helped me, you know, get into Adobe is those relationships. Someone that I had met there then moved on to Adobe and, you know, gave me a call. And I was able to then move into tech as well, you know, from that relationship. So I think it's very important. Something to call out here is, you know, making sure that any relationship or anybody you meet, you always, you know, always remember that that counts. No matter what impression you leave, like, it's who you know. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's not what you know, right? And always go back to those relationships.
Mm-hmm. And not only, like, meeting people, but I think that that also connects to, like, just being nice to everyone no matter what, you know? Like, in what position, it just doesn't matter. Just be a nice human to everybody because that's another piece of advice that we give. And help is going to come from all types of different directions. And just being able to cultivate relationships and stay connected and not be afraid. And I think that that's the one thing that you have is that you're fearless, you know? Even coming up to me, at, you know, when we first met, just being like, hey, what's up? And inviting me to go backpacking with you and your friends without I could have been a serial killer for all you know, and you didn't care.
Don't be too naive, but yes. No, yeah. I think that's a great point, you know, you made about being kind to everybody. I think it's also about giving back to your people and to where you came from, your community, right? I think now that I am at Adobe, I'm part of the Ola Network, which, you know, we have a lot of employee networks. So shout out to Adobe. And, you know, one of the things that we do is we try to give back. And I was part of a panel for San Jose State, you know, and it was great to see more, you know, students coming and asking those questions and wondering how I got there. And I'm like, you can do it too. Si se puede. Like, it's not just.
Isn't that crazy? Like, you remember those people coming into your classes and talking to you. And then now you're one of those people and you're like, whoa, holy, how did I get here?
Full circle.
You go into full circle. And that's where I feel like us Latinos, man, you know, like we always give back to our people. And that's, I think that's the one thing that motivates us too, is being able to serve as an inspiration for kids who feel like they're at a place, you know? Yeah. And I think that Raul can definitely relate to that, you know, because he also came from a family of soccer and man, he knows everybody in the soccer community, man. I cannot go to a soccer game with Raul without being stopped a million times.
But it's just those relationships like that you said right now, Gladys, you cultivate and you kind of, you're used to it. You're used to being around, especially in soccer. You know, I mean, I've been on teams where, you know, it's been nothing but Mexicanos, and then on other teams where it's just a mix, and other teams where you're the only one. You're the only brown person on the team. But I think, you know, like I said, those types of things, they kind of give you the thick skin, I guess you could say, the drive that you need to be like, I'm meant to be here, you know? I'm supposed to be here. I'm not like, and not feel like, you know, you're being discriminated against, or, and who knows, maybe there were times where, you know, there, you know, I mean, I, when I was younger, I felt, you know, man, you know, certain things being said, and you're kind of like, that came off kind of racist, you know, but, you know, it's just kind of taking it as a grain of salt and being like, F it, I'm just going to keep going through with this and keep trucking forward. And I think, and I think that kind of, you know, even where I'm at right now is, especially at the job that I have, those experiences kind of shape you. And it's kind of like, okay, you know, like Claudia was saying right now, your story's super inspirational, just because, you know, when there could have been many times, especially like in that moment in your life where, you know, you lost a brother, you could have easily, especially at a young age, really like sheltered, kept in, but you kept going. And I think, you know, listening to your story and just kind of like how strong you were to push through, and, you know, and everybody comes into their own at different times. And I think that's the important thing to let people know as well, that, you know, listening to what you're saying right now and doing it for your parents and finding that support system. And I think those are all key factors into kind of, you know, completing your goals and your success, you know?
Absolutely.
And you're super young too. So I can only imagine, you know, 3-4 years down the road, and you're hopefully somebody high at Adobe, and
you don't forget about us little people.
Don't stop. You'll always be part of the family. You know that. There's no way. But yeah, it's important to have that support system. I think, like you said, I even remember one story you told me where your mom was the carpool mom and she'd always help, you know, other kids, drive them to, you know, those practices. And, you know, I could definitely say that even, you know, I had that, and I'm so thankful that I, you know, I had those parents that believed in me and were willing to support me. Even my brother was willing to work and trade in some of the work that he did in construction to be able to pay off for my fees. And, you know, the entire, say it takes a village to raise somebody, it's the same thing to support someone, right? In any dream. And we say that that's so important, and to do that for anyone out there and ensure that you empathize, right? I think it's so important to know that there's so many people out there that need support and need that encouragement.
Yeah. And that's the most important feeling. And what was your college experience like? Obviously, like, you're an athlete, you're you know, keeping up with school, was it like, did you find a support system in school as well? Like, I mean, because there's a lot of kids that are going to get to college eventually, but, you know, some have different stories. You know, maybe some people have to work two jobs. Other people, you know, like in yourself, like, you're an athlete, you're committed to that. And sometimes there's rules and regulations of what you can do for income at that time. But like, who were people or things that you kind of latched onto to get you through those 4 years?
During those 4 years, like, I actually came on to, you know, San Jose State. I was already, you know, accepted. I wanted to go there. And then I got recruited and I was a walk-on recruit and then earned my scholarship after the first year there. Through that process, I was lucky enough that, you know, being an athlete, I was able to get my first choices in classes and sign up, and I had counselors. For me, once again, like, I was very resourceful and I had to figure out how to find the help. Like, okay, this class comes before this one. Mm-hmm. You know, this one you're supposed to take first. Like, I had to figure that out and ask those questions. And, you know, I needed to make sure that I was looking out for myself, and I kept working also. So during the springtime, during the off season, I would go back to work because I needed to help pay for my rent, because obviously, yeah, I had, you know, scholarship to pay for school and whatnot, but that didn't also pay for all of my rent. And it's expensive living in the Bay Area, as you may know.
And where would you work on off season?
Yeah, I worked at the YMCA. So I was a trainer at the YMCA. So Boys and Girls Club, same thing. You know, they were partnered. Your brother worked for them for a while. So I would work there. And at that time, it was the best paying job, like $12 an hour, right?
Ballin'
out of control in college. And, you know, I would try to work there as much as I could in the off season. That way it could offset, you know, the fall time. And that's what I did. And then I always, you know, I think the other thing that I will say is that, I mean, throughout my mom helped me out, my dad, like, as much as they could. And they were always there, like, even a home cooked meal if I ever went home. Like, that in itself was such a blessing for me. And I was so thankful. But I always had, like, a mentor, like, along the way. Like, during soccer, I would have a mentor, right? My coach. But in college, I had a professor that, you know, once I figured out I really loved advertising and I got into this ad agency, really mentored me and really helped me, like, okay, you should, you know, probably go into this agency, or, hey, should you take that Target job that they offered? Like, those were things that I would ask him, and he helped me too. So I think it's important to make sure that you do find someone that you can go to along the way.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that goes back to finding mentors and people who help you along the way, because those are the people that are going to make an impact in your life. And it's also the people who you remember when you go back and you yourself are giving back.
What's the best advice you were given during those times? Like, what's something that sticks out to you the most that was kind of like, it shaped me a little bit, but then at the same time, it's kind of still something that I live by today?
I would say knowledge is power, but it's not powerful until you actually apply it. Right. I think that really was big, because it kept me being curious and I kept wanting to learn more because of that knowledge. And everybody always told me, like, keep learning, make sure you always ask those questions and don't be afraid to. But knowledge is everything. Like,
And those are one of those key things, you know. I mean, even like talking with Alex earlier, I know in soccer, like one of the things that we were always taught, like, was soccer is like a game of mistakes. You're gonna make mistakes, but it's how you bounce back from those mistakes that, you know, you eventually you're gonna win the game. So, you know, I think it's important to kind of tell our children as well, like, don't be scared to ask a question. I'm not used to that too, because you'll come over the house sometimes and you'll be like, hey, Ro, what do you think about this? And I'm kind of like, oh, I wasn't in the conversation, but.
Me and you will be talking. Side bus role.
Listen, I think it's important. You know, you hear everybody, and sometimes I was reading this book called Principles, and it was great because it was giving you like five things that, you know, the author had learned through his career. And one of them was like, learn when not to state your opinion. And I thought to myself, I said, wow, that is very powerful, because that then allows you to listen in on everybody else in the room, right? So sometimes, you know, yes, I am curious and I ask a lot of questions, but I also am learning to take a step back and, you know, listening to other people. That way I can learn from them. And I'm really like an avid listener. So that's really helpful too.
Oh yeah, that's good advice. Well, thank you so much for being a guest on this episode. It's really it's really exciting to have you on and talk about your story, and we really, really appreciate you and appreciate you coming and talking to us.
No, thank you guys. You know, I love you. You guys are my family. And anytime.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, G.
Alrighty, I'll see you guys later.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram @AtuLadoPodcast.